You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Dave's Corner Garage. Heard every Saturday morning from 10 to 11 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740.
Gentlemen, start your engines!
Triangle Tire, Tires for Life presents Dave's Corner Garage. The following is a paid program. Opinions on the show are always expressed with a certain joie de vivre. Please consult a doctor before listening, as laughter can be infectious. Buckle in, everyone. It's time to get this show on the road. Time for Dave's Corner Garage, your Saturday morning joyride on Zoomer Radio. Got a car query? Call now, 416-360-0740, or toll free at
1-866-740-4740.
Yeehaw! Does that sound well rested?
That's pretty good, Al.
Well, I've been able to save that up.
Yeah.
I haven't yeehawed in about 3 weeks.
Yeah, really?
Yeah.
Is that what your wife said?
I'm not supposed to talk about that. I get in big trouble.
Really?
Yeah. Oh,
well,
nobody's business.
Okay.
You know.
All right. Well, I wouldn't tell.
Are you trying to get
You're
me in trouble?
You're safe here. It's a safe space.
Well, Happy New Year, everyone. We have a guest with us today. It's Nunu Nguyen from Pfaff Tuning. She's been with us before. And we're going to talk all kinds of car stuff.
They should just call it Pfaff Tuning.
Don't you get called that all the time.
Oh, do they? Yeah, because, I mean, the whole point is you want to make that car go fast, right?
Sometimes.
Well, except through the corners.
Oh, you
well,
want
no,
go,
you still want to go through the corners.
You want to go as
you
fast as
stick.
Possible.
Yeah.
Either fast or fun through the corners.
Yeah, exactly.
Fast is fun. Do you ever tell your drivers that, Brian? I mean, you're a team owner now.
Yeah.
And they say, I'm not fast through the corners. But you say, yeah, but is it fun?
Well, there's a couple of things I can say to the drivers. One, they're not my responsibility.
Uh-huh.
So our chief engineer looks after those guys.
Oh, correct, right.
So,
passing the buck.
No. He's like, this is my job. And
yes.
I'm like, great. I don't want to talk to the drivers anyway. And secondly, if they're not fast enough, then I'm more than capable of hopping in the car and going fast.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I've had that conversation a couple of times in the last couple of weeks.
That's
so. So did you want me
goal.
To do it? Because then I don't need you.
that's kind of it. Yeah. There's lots of people who want to drive our race cars, and it has to happen under a certain set of conditions. And if they're not, well, then I'm happy to drive my own race car. No problem.
So it's dependent on the size of your cojones, too.
Our championship is very, very competitive.
You understand what cojones are?
Cojones.
Okay, because we have a lady in the studio. who is there a female equivalent?
Not really. I don't know.
Okay.
I don't think it matters. It's metaphorical anyway.
Well, that's true.
It's not literal.
It's true.
It's not literal.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
In fact, I was watching something on YouTube video, and the lady was going on. It was a lady talking. She said, I don't know why they use that term, because those things are very delicate, and it's kind of stupid that they do that. And I went, oh, this is a little too much information, but true, but truthful.
True, yes.
Yeah.
All right,
okay.
Mm-hmm. Moving on. It's my my dog Monty's second birthday today.
Happy birthday, Monty.
Happy birthday, Monty.
Yeah, I'm sure he's listening right now.
He's not here licking or panting underneath the table.
No. The problem is when he hears my voice over any kind of speaker, he's just completely confused. He thinks I'm somewhere else, or I'm kind of disembodied.
Oh, you know what? And we had that right now, because our kids are away, and we're doggy sitting.
Oh, yes.
We have our grand dog. And they love to FaceTime, right? And so the grandkids are calling out the dog's name, and the dog's looking around going, where the hell is it coming from? They go, no, look at the screen, dog. The dog can't figure that out.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
Just say hi.
Yeah.
No.
But mine watches television. If we have YouTube and put dog YouTube episodes on, he watches
television.
Yeah, he's right into it.
And put on the fireplace thing.
No, we haven't done that.
Oh, how
There's
about
a
the
chicken rotisserie bait channel? Have you seen that one?
He'd love that. I'd probably lick the TV.
All right, what else are we talking about today? We've got some special guests.
Well, news here.
One
so
news here.
Yes, yeah. So we're glad to have her back, and we have our pal James Hinchcliffe back on the show, because we've got iRacing for the Kids next week with our pals at HIP Motorsports out in Ajax. And I was there yesterday doing some driving of my race car around Daytona in the simulator world.
Now, can you actually take, like, how do they put your car in?
Somebody creates a graphics file, and they just drop it right in.
Oh, so it just looks like your car.
Yeah.
What about actual performance?
It's identical.
Yes. Oh, so they know how big the motor is and what the tires are.
All the engineering's the same. Yep.
Oh, wow. That's crazy. And how fast did you get through the corners?
I've spun a couple of times, so very fast.
Very fun.
Not so much fun. But the fun part was you didn't crash it.
And it didn't cost me anything.
Exactly.
Yes.
All right, this is Dave's Corner Garage. We're having lots of fun. We're happy to be back with you live, and we're going to be back right after this break. This is Dave's Corner Garage. We'll be right back.
Corner Garage. I'm Brian Max in studio with Alan Gelman, of course, as always, and New Nguyen from Pfaff Tuning. And it's a new year. Lots of new stuff going on.
Exactly. Weather's been great. I haven't, you know, really worried about snow, which is, does that give you extra time?
In terms of
well,
what?
Mind you, your racing is not here anyways.
No, we're racing in the States.
Ah.
Yeah, so before the winter's over, we've got a couple of races in the States. So, yeah, no problem. Here, we had snow over just before the holidays, and I had a lovely tester that was kind of rear drivey. It's the new BMW M340 with all-wheel drive. But because it's the 3 Series, it's a little rear-drive biased, and in the snow, I was able to drive it sideways a lot.
Okay, but you do have...
Inadvertently. It was completely by accident. Mm-hmm. Completely by accident.
Fun. You were having fun.
Yes.
Did you have winter tires on it?
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah. It's amazing how many people don't think that, because, well, I have four-wheel drives, so I don't need 4 winter tires. Well, you kind of, yeah, you do.
Yeah, you need you need 4.
Yeah.
And, you know, all of us here are running on winter tires.
Exactly.
Right. People say that all the time. It makes a huge difference. That just means if four-wheel drive means you're spinning out 4 wheels if you don't have winter tires.
Question, your specialty is 911s, of course, and you're the air-cooled expert. You've got your badge of honor. The first and only female who happened to get that distinction of being the air-cooled specialist?
Classic certified. Only so far, mm-hmm. I know that there... I think she's got another job at this point, but there was a lady in the UK that was also going for the certification, and I think she wanted to become an instructor, but the last I heard, I think she might have moved on to something else.
Now, does it strictly go from your expertise at the shop, or is there a lot of schooling involved, and if so, where does that schooling take place?
There is specialized training from Porsche. In North America, it is in California, just outside of L.A.
Uh-huh.
And then there's training in Germany as well.
Right, but at the same time, it's not like someone can just sign up.
No, you have to be a Porsche technician.
Right, and put so many hours in, and obviously somebody has to vouch for you and say,
yeah, there's a qualification or certification exam, mm-hmm. practical and theory.
And where did you do your training then? In California?
In California.
Yeah, it was mm-hmm. good.
It was great. I had a lot of fun out there. Lots of good training. And then I took the opportunity to visit some of the shops around there. So made a lot of great connections.
Mm. In actual Porsche facilities.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's a Porsche paradise down in Southern
it really
California.
Is.
It's like you know, you can't turn a corner without finding another Porsche specialty shop. You know, Singer's down there. I've driven the Gunther Works cars as well, and there's so much. Rod Emery's down there.
Yeah,
all kinds of stuff.
Lots of shops.
But question, I mean, for the most part, if somebody wants to drive fast, do they not want a high performance, high horsepower vehicle? And having said that, why do we restrict ourselves to air cooled when there's lots more power in water cooled cars?
There is, I think, a romance to it, maybe.
Uh-huh.
I feel like, for myself, there's just something special about the air-cooled that the others don't offer. I mean, if I was strictly looking for just horsepower,
right.
There's lots of other options.
Right.
But that's not always what I'm looking for. There's a finesse. There's agility. There's just so much more than just straight horsepower.
Well, but at the same time, I mean, the engineers that are designing these cars, and they're not cheap vehicles, they're designing the whole car, or not specifically around the motor, but to perform with that kind of horsepower. You can't just make horsepower. Obviously, you have to make suspension and steering and everything else mm-hmm. that fits the whole package
mm-hmm.
to go fast.
Well, that's why the new cars are not air-cooled. The air-cooled are just the classic cars, and there's where the romance lies.
There you go. So it's not that they're better. It's just that people like them.
They're they're different. You know, people for the same reason people like mechanical watches. People love a classic 911, And it's a completely different driving experience. You know, it's because the cars are also from a different era. They're smaller. They're lighter. Mm-hmm. There's a direct connection to the car when you're driving it. Mm-hmm. And that has gone missing because the cars, you know, modern 911s are bigger. Mm-hmm. They're more comfortable and they're significantly faster. But that's all part of the package today. But you know, the charm of the classic cars is that they're smaller, lighter, and they have these wonderful air-cooled motors in them.
Question though, too, though, at the same time, but who's driving them? I mean, is it mostly, you know, older people, or is there younger folks that are actually...
Lots of younger folks.
Oh, there
lots
is,
of younger
eh?
folks. Yep.
Yeah.
There's a huge group of people. I wouldn't say a huge group of people, but there's the purists that yes. love, you know, just OE, everything standard. And then there are the group that does more of the modifications, I would say, are the younger folk.
Mm-hmm.
And there's lots of different kinds of modifications going in there, body, engine.
But they're not spoiling the car.
Oh, it depends.
Depends on your perspective.
Yeah,
right.
It depends.
Yeah. Okay.
There are, I'm friends with and am part of the RWB community.
Uh-huh.
They will cut the body and put in wide fenders,
right.
lower the car, huge wheels, different suspension.
So to a purist, they've totally destroyed the vehicle.
So
I'm not a Porsche. I'm not a Porsche purist.
Yes.
But RWB is on the other side of the line for me.
Okay.
So I don't think that's a good thing, taking a perfectly good 911 and hacking its fenders off.
But right. What's
Singer
RWB?
Does that.
What's RWB stand for?
There's lots of lines, right?
There is.
There are lots of lines.
So, you know, what Singer does because you've seen the cars. And there's a lot of thought and care and engineering that goes into Singer. So I'm gonna take the high road on this one.
But most of these businesses at the same time, they're businesses. I mean,
yes.
they're there to earn a profit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're not going to do something that's going to lose them sales. They want to increase their sales.
Increase sales. And everyone has different tastes.
Yeah.
Not everyone can afford $400,000, $1 million on a Singer that most of the time they don't drive.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I RWB is a point of contention for a lot of people.
Sorry, I'm not familiar with it. What does RWB stand for?
I don't know how to pronounce it.
Yeah, I don't know. It's a fellow out of Japan
who
loves 911s, and his aesthetic is to hack off the fenders and put big wide fenders on and big wide wheels and tires. And there's a special aesthetic. They kind of look like race cars, but they're not really.
But some of them are. It depends on the owner.
A really weird build. Is that it?
Yeah.
There
that's
you go.
It. That's
really
it, right?
Weird
a really
build.
Weird build.
I wouldn't say that.
I figured it out. This is Dave's Corner Garage. We're here with New Noon from Pfaff Tuning up in Newmarket. And we're going to be talking to her and all kinds of other stuff right after this break.
Welcome back to Dave's Corner Garage. I'm Brian Max in studio with Ellen Gelman, of course, and New Noon from Pfaff Tuning. And, you know, it's a new year, so we got lots of stuff on the go with social media. So please visit our Facebook page and our Instagram page and all that stuff. There's always interesting stuff going on there.
New question. Have you driven a Taycan?
I have not.
No?
I have not.
Brian has.
Several, yes.
Did you like it?
I prefer the Audi.
The e-tron? That one I've driven.
Yeah. The Audi is really cool. So the Taycan and the Audi e-tron are essentially the same product.
Okay.
Skin differently, as everybody does.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the Taycan that I like is the, what do they call it? It's the off-roady one. It's the one with the higher ride height and it looks like a wagon.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And that...
I think the Adventurer or something like that.
Exactly. It's enjoyable. I kind of like the aesthetic of the Audi. I like the way it works as a mm-hmm. car, not just as an EV. To me, it happens to be an Audi performance sedan that is propelled by electric motors.
Well, and in fact, they're selling more electric cars now than they're selling ICE cars, right?
Yes. No.
Who is?
Porsche.
No.
Oh, sorry. I didn't realize you were...
I read somewhere here they're selling more electric cars than they are selling 911s, I think.
That's possible.
I'm not sure about that.
Yeah, I haven't looked. But it's coming.
But it's funny. I mean, it's a totally different, you know, it's like comparing apples and oranges, really, you know.
Yeah.
You're talking about a big sedan as opposed to a sports car.
Yeah, but electric sports cars are coming. They're definitely coming. And, you know, of all the manufacturers that I'm thinking of, I mean, Hyundai is going to get there probably first with their N line, not the N line cars, but the N cars. So I think the Ioniq 6 is coming as an N, the Ioniq 5 is coming as an N soon. The Kia EV6, which is sort of a sister car to the Ioniq 5, has a performance model already, and you can drift that. You know, it's ridiculously quick, but it's got a drift mode. So the fun EVs are coming.
Question though, I mean, you've driven them a lot more than myself, but weight wise, they're way more.
They're way heavier. But, you know, category for category, call it 1,000 pounds difference.
Wow.
Yeah, that's what that's generally what the battery pack weighs. And
have the engineers been able to deal with that in terms of making the car feel, or does it feel like a slug? I mean,
they're all quick, right?
Instant torque.
Yeah.
I've heard grown men giggle, you know, just like I've seen people drive and watch videos of people drive the Taycan. I've not myself. But, you know, it's funny when you get like a hee-hee, you know, out of like grown men driving these.
Yeah. It's not like, think about this. It's not like launching, a 1986 Porsche 911 with a manual gearbox,
right.
You know, and
with
that's...
With the lag.
And, you know, there's lag and, you know, you got to shift slowly and the whole thing. With an electric car, the torque is instantaneous. The car responds instantaneously. So, you're talking about an experience where you might get, 6 seconds, 0-60 in an old 911, maybe, but in a Taycan or any of these new fast sedans or SUVs, whatever they do 0-60 in 3 seconds, and anybody can do it.
It's continuous too. It's instant and continuous. You're not waiting to shift. You're not.
Question: What and dollar value or price? Do we have any idea what the Taycan's worth?
Probably starts 130-ish, and I'm sure you can option them to over 200.
Oh, for sure.
So basically, it's in the same category as the. As the S, I guess.
The EQS?
No, I meant the electric car. What's the Tesla?
Oh, Tesla? Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I'd certainly rather have a Porsche in my garage than a Tesla.
Right, because we've had these discussions before because you keep telling me that, well, and it's true that Tesla was never a car company.
Well, they're a car company in a different way.
Right.
So, you know, they don't have a traditional dealer model. They don't have a traditional service model either, and their part supply has been compromised oftentimes. So, for example, if somebody ends up in a crash, it still takes several weeks or months to have your Tesla repaired.
And so who's helping that out with that? I mean, the insurance company coming to bat or not?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I know someone that had one, and they wrote it off. He was happy. Mm-hmm. He got whacked pretty good. Well, and it may have taken a year to fix it anyways.
It's quite possible.
Yeah.
It's quite possible. Of all the EVs that have driven, you know, a lot of them are really impressive and for different reasons. But that Audi RS e-tron GT, it looks like an Audi sedan. That thing is just, to me, it's beautiful. It's got wonderful dynamics. And then it's an EV, so it's very, very quick. But to me, it's the right size, and it looks cool and it makes cool sounds.
Okay. But now, question, who's driving the, who's pushing... EV manufacturing and sales?
That's changing. So manufacturers have gotten ahead of it until recently, and we've started to hear about all these mandates, right?
Right.
So while we were on break, the geniuses at the federal government have proposed a new mandate.
New mandate.
You ready for this? So in 2026, one-fifth of all new passenger vehicles have to be electric.
Mm-hmm.
And then it gets worse. By 2030... 60% have to be EVs, and the plan is by 2035, every passenger vehicle has to be electric.
You mean every vehicle sold?
Yes.
They're not taking cars off the road.
No, they're not going to take cars off the road.
But I mean, if people don't want to buy them, you can't force people to buy something they don't want.
Well, this is Canada in 2023, so who knows? But this plan will never work for reasons we can discuss later, but it's not going to work as much as they want it to.
And right now, there's no cars available anyways.
So that's right. You can't get them.
This is Dave's Corner Garage. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to Dave's Corner Garage. I'm Brian Max in studio with Alan Gelman and Nunu and from Pfaff Tuning. And, you know, we're sitting here looking outside and it's still gray. When do you think we can see the sun?
I think there's maybe a few minutes this afternoon for a moment of time.
I'll have to schedule it in.
You know, I'm happy it hasn't snowed, really. It's been better for working.
For sure. Yeah, the shop's cleaner, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, New works on cars that don't come in all snowy and stuff, right?
And they stick around for a while.
And they hang around for a little while. What are you working on right now?
Right now, I've got two 928s that I've been trying to work through. Actually, I just sent one home.
Wow.
So that was exciting. It's always a challenge when they're... That was an 82. So it's always challenging when they're that old. Everything is... old. and then once I get those done, I've got a 78 911 that's come in for some tuning and some other work. And then I've got a pretty full restoration coming up that I'm really excited about. That one's...
What's that one going to be?
That one, I've pulled the powertrain because I'll be working through the engine, splitting the case for that one.
Yep.
And then we've sent the body to the body shop. 82 911 SC, pretty standard. We're keeping it as original as possible, maybe just some upgrades.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm just really excited I get to make this one nice and beautiful and clean.
That's very cool.
Yeah.
Question, I saw a website and the guy was talking about his favorite Porsches and the 928 was actually way down.
I'm not a huge fan of the transaxles, the front engine water cools.
Right.
I know that, I mean, especially the 944 with its weight distribution, they're great for racing.
Mm-hmm.
But my legs are short. I find the weight, the footwell is really long.
And so right.
To reach the pedals, I can't properly see over the dash. But the 928 especially, even when I was going through the classic training, I had heard that Germany was trying to buy them all up, that they were becoming more popular. But, you know...
Becoming more popular.
Yeah.
Or popular
really?
Again.
Yeah, with collectors. Yeah, it's a strange thing because they were kind of unloved. The idea behind the 928 at the beginning was that it was going to be a replacement for the 911.
That's right.
And, of course, that didn't fly with Porsche fans.
Yeah, with 911 fans, that didn't go well at all.
Yeah. Almost as bad as the 9-4s in there.
Well, you know, we've got the Cayman and the Boxster now. So
we do.
You know, there's all kinds of things. But, yeah, the 928 was a bit of an odd duck, and I think they're fairly expensive to maintain.
Well, Porsche, period, is expensive to maintain. And then with the classic cars, even though Porsche supports the classics with producing parts,
mm-hmm.
There's still some parts that are not produced
sure.
because there's not enough demand for it. So parts are hard to find. There's not a lot of people working on them. The fuse panel's a nightmare. But, you know, with the 911s going the way they are, they're just astronomical right now. People are turning to the other models, so we're seeing more of that.
Wait, is it more in the way of body parts you're talking about is not being available? Or
No, with the 928, with the transaxles, they started introducing more technology,
mm-hmm.
And those are harder to find.
Right. Yeah, that's where you really need the specialty shop or find a wrecker from...
either wreckers or people... refurbishing old components, old electronic components, which mm-hmm. not everybody is.
No, it's always a question, especially if you're buying it on the internet like that.
Yeah,
you know? Yeah. So we're one of our little projects. Mm-hmm. It's kind of tied to racing, but our vehicle that we're going to drive around is a Mercedes 190E 2.316, and that's a cool little car that Mercedes did way before AMG mm-hmm. in the 80s. And we found a car that's got a clean chassis and a bagged drivetrain, so we're throwing a different drivetrain in this thing, and it'll look like a racing car from the late 80s, early 90s. By the time we're done with it, it's going to sound good, it's going to perform well, all that stuff. But a friend of mine has that same model, same color combination too. Mm-hmm. And when he heard we were doing this project, he said to me, "I will take every single part you pull off that car."
The old stuff, right?
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah.
You can't find it.
Yeah, and there's lots of stuff that's coming out of the car, and it's just all going to get thrown in a bin, and he's going to have to go and pick it up from the shop at some point.
Well, that's okay if you're using it yourself, okay? But, I mean, I've had situations, too, where customers decide that they want to supply something or find something. I have to explain to them that if you're bringing the part, you have to understand that I can't warrant that part.
Yep.
Yep.
And if I have to pull it out again because it doesn't work, you're paying.
Yeah.
Yes.
And they go, oh. So I think you're way better off to let me supply the part, because then I'm going to give you a warranty.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. And it's funny. Sometimes it works. Sometimes it doesn't. I actually have one coming in this week like that.
Oh, boy.
Somebody decided to buy his own complete rear diff.
And oh, boy.
So I said, here's the deal. Mm-hmm. You know, so our fingers are crossed. I was able to convince him that we should at least put in new seals while it's on the floor, as opposed to doing them after the fact.
So this is from a wrecker or something?
Yes.
Okay. Yes. Oh, boy.
Previously loved, I think, is the nice way of calling it.
That's a nice way
you
to say
it. You ever heard it that way? Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. I guess. Well, but you have to do that periodically. If you can't source a new part.
A lot of the times it's used parts, especially I find there's more used parts for there's more new parts for the 911, mm-hmm. but for the transaxles, because there's not as much demand,
right.
We do have to go to eBay and find used parts.
Is there a specific, Porsche specialist wreckers that are around that you can...
There are. Yeah. They do tend to deal with more of the newer models.
Mm-hmm.
So with the older models, you kind of just have to search everywhere. There are specific sites that I can go to for 928s and 944, which is nice.
Now, is there a Porsche head office here in Canada?
There is.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And you say some of the training happens there?
There is training facility there. Mm-hmm. And they're opening a Porsche Experience Center, I think, Pickering?
Near Pickering.
Yeah, I'm actually really excited about that.
Yeah.
Mind you, I think it probably targeted more against training new people on new cars, isn't it?
Yes. I've queried if there was going to be a classic component to that facility, and I think it's looking like it's just going to be display more than anything else.
All right, and for anybody just tuning into the show and hearing a female voice, which is great, any problems that you have with the shop in terms of old sexist cavemen working there?
No. I've been very lucky in my experience.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say out of 100 people that I've worked with, schools, training, I've been in 3 different shops, the race teams. I've had to deal with maybe 2 out of 100, and really nothing that, hurt my feelings or anything like that, But I do know that I know a lot of other women in the trade, in and around the industry,
mm-hmm.
and they have a lot, there are lots of instances where people have... other women have a really hard time. But I feel like it's not usually on the job. It's just, people that don't pick up the wrench that have, ideas.
Right.
Clients that also don't pick up the wrench and have ideas.
But I've seen
it. I myself have had an amazing run at it.
But I've seen it go both ways, for example. I knew a lady actually that worked as a wrench for Mercedes Canada. And she worked on the bench and loved it, but they actually asked her to work the counter, and they said, we'll pay you the same money. And part of the reasoning was that they felt...
women identified more.
Exactly. As, yeah. Women customers would much rather talk to a lady, behind the sure. desk rather than a guy, thinking that what they were saying is more important. They felt it was easier to converse, I guess. I don't know. Do you ever run into that?
No, I've never been offered the desk job myself. I probably would turn it down.
Uh-huh.
At the dealership, we had, there were or has been women at as service advisors, so they didn't need to turn to me.
But I wondered myself, you're talking about a mechanical thing, and like I will often tell people, people will turn around and say, well, I don't know, I'm not a mechanic. I said, listen, you have 2 ears, just like I do. I'm just asking you, the next time the brakes squeal, could you try to, pay attention to where it may be coming from.
Notice it.
Is it the front or the back? And they go, well, I'm not a mechanic. I said, well, you don't have to be a mechanic. Okay, you have ears like I do, and probably better because I can't hear those frequencies anymore.
Yes.
Unless it's just a case of some guys tend to talk down to ladies thinking that, well, what do they know?
Mm-hmm.
When that's not the case, especially if you're the business owner or somebody who's, trying to make money working at the counter, you're going to want to be nice and try to explain the best you can.
Of course.
A lot of people don't want to. Women will want to speak with a female service advisor, but a lot of the guys won't, and they'll ask to speak to, a guy because they don't think that they have the experience. So
you're right. And I've seen that myself because our sister at our shop actually works the front counter. And periodically I could see somebody's got a face on, like, isn't there a guy here I could talk to?
Yeah, exactly.
No, you're an idiot, okay? It doesn't make a difference.
Yeah.
Anyways. But this is Dave's Corner Garage. We got something special coming up after the break.
Yeah, we got James Hinchcliffe coming up. Racing, very famous Canadian racing driver, and a charity event next week.
All right. iRacing?
E-racing? iRacing for the kids.
I'd be racing.
Yeah, you could. You should join me.
Okay, I will. This is Dave's Corner Garage. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to Dave's Corner Garage. I'm Brian Max in studio with Alan Gelman, and joining us today is old pal and famous Canadian racer, James Hinchcliffe. James, how are you?
I'm very well, sir. Yourself?
Not too bad. One of the things you're doing, I mean, you spend a lot of time in the U.S., but you're helping out some Canadian friends with iRacing for the Kids, which is a charity sim racing event coming up on January 11th. What's your role there exactly? Doing some driving? How are you helping?
Yeah, well, unfortunately, this year I won't be doing any driving. I'm going to be out of town on the date that we landed on. But, you know, last year the event was a blast. Everybody had a lot of fun. It was very well received. We exceeded expectations for fundraising. And so we figured, hey, if it worked once, why not do it again?
And this is in support of the Sick Kids Foundation, which is, you know, a big thing here in this part of the world.
Sick Kids was a huge thing in my family. My sister had a really bad accident. Actually, it was with a horse. Horse riding accident when she was younger, and Sick Kids were the ones that really kind of put her back together and gave her back to us. So, you know, when, like I said, when the idea came up and Gary pitched it to me, it was pretty big no brainer on that side. And it's a bummer I don't get to drive this year. I'm kind of taking grand marshal duties this time around. So helping, you know, just with recruiting some drivers and organizing a little bit and doing a bit of fundraising, so to speak. And yeah, and I'll be watching. I won't have a sim where I'm going to be, but I'll be watching online for sure.
Well, it's going to be interesting. And, you know, with the drivers, the pro drivers who've registered so far, a bunch of great names, lots of well-known Canadian drivers. And we've had Mark Wilkins on the show to talk about this a little bit, but there's tons of well-known Canadian drivers that are participating. And if I understand it perfectly, when a sim team sort of organizes, they register, they have the ability to choose a pro depending on their level of donations that they raise.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, we've got a list of pros that have signed up, and big thanks to all of them for, you know, donating their time and participating in this. And yeah, basically the highest bidder gets first pick. So do you want an experienced sim racer on your side, a guy like, you know, Dan Morad or something like that, or Robbie Wickens? Or do you want, you know, someone maybe you've heard of, but isn't that good on a sim, which would be the category I'd fall into if I was running this year? That was sort of my mantle last year, but it's a cool way to do it. And we were just blown away with how much we were able to raise last year. So hopefully more of the same.
Absolutely. And you look at some of the drivers, I mean, you know, Daniel Morad, I mean, who better to drive with? But Dan,
you know, I wish I could pay to have Dan on my team. That's how I would.
Yeah. No kidding. iRacing for the Kids is January 11th. So if you haven't registered and you're a sim racer, make sure you get out there and do that. So I'm encouraging experienced sim racers to join.
Yeah, it's a competitive group. If you sign up, I mean, it's all for fun, right? But I encourage everyone to sign up, but definitely, you know, expect some stiff competition. There's some really good teams that we saw, you know, in the race last year.
I've enjoyed seeing you on television on all the broadcasts this year, especially on the F1 broadcasts. And how was that working in Formula One relative to what you've been doing in IndyCar? Obviously, watch IndyCar as well, but Formula One's a big change from IndyCar.
It isn't. You know, that's the funny thing. I mean, yes, there's a lot more money spent. There are, you know, a lot bigger operations and organizations involved. The cars, you know, a different breed in a sense, but they're still single-seater Formula cars. And when the lights go out, it's just like the green flag dropping. You know, it's the same fundamental thing, just with, you know, a couple key differences. Honestly, it's 95% the same job. It's just 5% difference in some rules and some things that the cars can and can't do, or things like that. But, you know, what a cool experience. What a cool opportunity to get to jump into the Formula One world for a few races. And I did have a little bit of an imposter syndrome, you know, that first weekend, because I've never driven the car and there's a driver analyst. So it seems a little counterintuitive. But luckily, you know, Alex Palou, he was running FP1 for that first weekend of mine in Austin. And I could just pepper him with every possible question that I could think of. He was so gracious with his time about it, because I was just trying to learn as much as I could. Like, okay, in this scenario, what's happening? Or how does the car behave in this way? Or what changes would you make for this? And that way I could at least try to get some of that information across, you know, to the viewers at home, which is ultimately what my job is. And, you know, I had a great partner in Julian Palmer on that broadcast from the driving standpoint, and he could sort of fill in the blanks that I didn't have personal experience on. It was cool to see, you know, how many messages I got from people, especially back home, actually, in Canada, that were watching through F1 TV rather than, you know, on the Sky broadcast. And yeah, it was awesome. Hopefully I get to do some more of it next year.
I definitely enjoyed seeing you on the F1 broadcast, but you've been doing IndyCar now for the last year.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's kind of got that opportunity off the back of, you know, a full season of broadcasting with IndyCar and NBC. And, you know, what a fun year it was to get to do that. You know, a crazy championship battle. I think six cars were still eligible going into the last race. To have that kind of spread across the field, you know, after 17 races was pretty impressive. And, you know, working with Lee Diffie and Townsend Bell and the whole crew at NBC was... it was just awesome. You know, they're such a professional bunch, and we had a blast, man. We had a blast and had some really exciting races, even at tracks that historically are sometimes kind of boring races. We got lucky, and all the drivers put on a heck of a show for us and for all the fans, I think.
If the opportunity strikes, would you be prepared to jump back in an IndyCar?
I think only the 500. You know, I think I've closed the book on a full-time IndyCar campaign. Did it for 11 years, had a great run, had a lot of fun, you know, proud of what we accomplished in that sense. You know, the one big one that's obviously unchecked is the 500. And if the right opportunity came up, for sure, you know, but I had some chances to run it this year, to be honest, and they weren't operations that I thought really gave us an honest shot at winning. And I didn't just want to be a field filler and just collect another starter ring to throw up on the bookshelf for the heck of it. So there's, you know, still some conversations ongoing, and, you know, I'm sure there will be for a while. But yeah, if that right opportunity presents itself, I would have no hesitation to jump back in and go for Indy.
Right on. Well, that's kind of what I thought. And, you know, I think we'd all love to see you there.
Yeah. Well, everything for me is at Hinchtown. Yes. All the social media handles, Hinchtown.com, things like that. But yep. Yeah, no, we'll see.
And we're going to see you on January 11th on iRacing for the Kids, which is iRacingForTheKids.com. So make sure you register. And then if you're not participating, you can watch online. I think it's going to be on Twitch and Rev TV and all of that stuff. And I'm sure you're pretty stoked to be able to support this endeavor.
Yeah, 100%. It's exciting. I'm looking forward to it. Like I said, it was a good show last year. So even though I can't be in it, I can't participate, I'm really excited just to watch it because it was a heck of a race.
James, thanks for joining us today on the show. Really appreciate it. Looking forward to iRacing for the Kids on January 11th. You're listening to Dave's Corner Garage. We'll be right back after the break. Welcome back to Dave's Corner Garage. I'm Brian Max in the studio with Alan Gelman and Nunuin from Pfaff Tuning. And I got to give a shout out to my pal, Dr. J in California, who's actually listening in on zoomerradio.ca.
All right. Is he an iDriver?
No, you know what? He's got a great vehicle. He's got a Toyota 4Runner TRD Pro.
Okay, like a racing pickup truck.
Well, no, it's a 4Runner, uh-huh. But with the off-road suspension, wheels, tires, that sort of thing. I think it's got a roof rack, but he does a lot of hiking, so it's a perfect vehicle for him. And he's a slow driver.
Oh, okay. It's just more comfortable, and if he goes off the track, he can. Off the road, yeah, that car can do it.
Yeah, it really can. It's incredible. And in fact, that's the highlight of my week next week. I've got a 2023 Toyota 4Runner TRD Pro tester coming.
And where are you going to drive it?
On the city streets of Toronto.
Oh, okay.
Well, because they're worse than going off-roading.
Well, that's true. Yeah. I had one in this week. We had an MDX that got towed in and was on our shop, and the ball joint had fallen out. And so it makes for... Ugly damage. It was a couple grand in the end. You know, this is where the control arm is one place, the ball joint is somewhere else. The wheel is out in left field altogether. In fact, even ruined the wheel rim
because I
didn't have it on the original estimate, and I thought, what happened here? And well, because they were moving, and whatever was left of the ball joint actually cut a groove into the aluminum wheel.
Sure.
Yeah, so that had to be changed. We were talking earlier, though, of course, is our favorite lady mechanic here, and there's lots of opportunities for women to go into the dealership, right?
There are. I want to say that there's a lot more now. Uh-huh. I know in classes.
Right.
There's more all the time. I just need to encourage more employers to give women a shot. I feel like employers are still shy and hesitant. They worry about the team dynamics or facilities. The facility itself isn't built for a separate change room.
Right.
When I joined the Porsche dealership, one of the things I loved was that they built the place with a facility with separate change rooms for a woman. And so I think we just need to kind of catch up with the times. We can't complain about a shortage of workers if we don't hire from the entire pool.
Well, that's right. I mean, you know, businessmen are people who are in business, and the whole idea is that you employ the right people, you generate a profit. Who cares what sex they are?
Yeah,
if
we
they
all
do
have
the
hands.
Job right and, yeah. and you make money, who cares?
Yeah, with a race team, I literally don't care.
Right.
I'd have a full team of women drivers driving for us. No problem. And as far as crew goes, I mean, the over the wall crew has, you know, there's some physical requirements, but if you meet the physical requirements, I don't care.
Exactly.
And you know, now we're seeing, in, of course, in motorsport, there's a lot of female engineers as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's awesome. I literally don't care. And I'd rather have more women on our team for sure.
All right, so the iRacing, James Hinchcliffe, that was great. Yeah,
iRacing for the kids to benefit Sick Kids Foundation is on Wednesday. And if you go to HIP Motorsports, I think it's hipmotorsports.com, that'll be broadcast on probably Twitch as well as YouTube. And if I'm in town, you can catch me there as well.
Is there off-track betting on who's going to win?
You know what? There's not a lot of betting on motor racing because there are too many variables, right?
Well, there is, but but I watch the thing, and they always say, live from Vegas, here's Monty. Monty's going to tell you what the odds are, who's going to win the race this weekend.
Yeah, well, that's, you know, because Vegas likes to monetize every kind of betting opportunity, but I mean, I would never bet on motorsport.
No.
No way.
Well, but sometimes, for example, I mean, you know, when you've got, like, Formula One where, for example, I mean, you know, you've got two or three drivers who are generally going to win everything anyways.
Right.
That's going to throw a wrench into it.
That's a little bit more consistent. Mm-hmm. That's perhaps, you know, the variables are more in line with team sports or like ball and stick sports for sure. But I would never bet on motor racing.
Oh wow!
It's just, too many. There are way too many variables.
Okay.
Yeah, that's me. But if you want to, I think you can bet.
Yeah, but I'm not a betting guy. I mean, I had a relative that used to be in the betting business, actually.
Oh, really? Was it legal?
No.
Okay.
No. Well, it was until you got caught.
Right.
But the nicest guy. And who actually said, if you're a gambler, you're a loser, and that's for the most part.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
But, and I did win, actually. I called the Blue Jays to win. But I thought, you know, I'm going to put in $20. How big a deal is it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I won. I got a check for $100. I couldn't believe it.
Excellent.
Yeah, it was like me doing a happy dance at Shoppers with my kids. and my kids were so, Dad, would you stop? Okay. I've never won before. You know, I was a lotto thing, and I won $50, and I was so excited.
Excellent. Excellent.
I think that's how people get hooked.
Yeah.
Newt, you were saying you've got some interesting things coming up that are outside of your normal job.
There's an opportunity. Well, there's not an opportunity. It's a thing. I haven't actually told very many people. So Porsche has a reunion in North America every few years. The Rennsport reunion number 7 is this September at Laguna Seca in California. And I'll be with the FAF Motorsports team for that event, which I'm really excited about because outside of, I don't get to spend any time with the team. I've never really, like, I've met them. Mm-hmm. I've not had the chance to build any relationship or rapport with them, but they needed extra hands for that event, so I'll get to spend some time with them.
And for the fans out there, you'll be bringing the big car, the one that won the championship last year, won Daytona, like the real deal. So
exactly.
So you'll be supporting the team with that car. Very cool.
Yeah, I'm really excited about that.
All right, and I know, don't get fooled. I let's just get on the real track,
mm-hmm.
which is the one outside with the potholes.
Yep.
If you have not, at this
off-road.
Point, got your tires yet, it's we're still time.
We
have some bad weather coming up.
There's always time.
Yeah.
Brian's Garage is charging $500 now.
Uh-huh.
I've got all the tools there, but you've got no insurance coverage, and the the reliability of a racing driver to put wheels and tires on your car, but I can still do it.
I've seen that many, many times. I think the wheel's loose. Come back in.
Yeah, exactly.
And those are professionals.
Yeah, I don't trust myself to work on my own car.
And does the 500 include the retorque?
Sure. Yeah, I'll throw that in there. Yeah.
Are nice you a bonus. Big retorquing person?
No.
No, eh?
No, I click twice.
Uh-huh.
When I'm torquing it the first time, people don't usually come back. You know, like they're good. Like, I'm done. So they just, that's it.
Well, hang on. They don't come back. What does that necessarily mean?
No, once you, they don't come back to retorque. They're like, you're done. So yes. We're good.
I get it. So we've always maintained that if it's done properly in the first place, there really is no reason.
Exactly.
I mean, if you're not torquing and you're kind of just eyeballing it, click, click with the elbow.
Nope.
Then I would definitely retorque or retighten.
And my other bone of contention is, if you hear something that sounds like your wheel's loose, there's a good chance it is.
So
don't make the radio louder.
No.
Don't turn it up.
No, anything loose related to the suspension or the wheels, that's bad news.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Exactly. So, you know, got to...
Any new weird sounds is bad.
If it feels funny, it sounds funny, take it in. We've got great mechanics out there, both women, males and females, who are more than happy to address your problem.
Absolutely. Yeah. And if you got a specialist car, go see New at Pfaff Tuning.
There you go. Mention our
Thanks,
name.
Thanks, guys.
What's that?
Mention our name and get a discount.
Maybe.
Maybe.
Maybe. Yeah, let's do that.
Do something like that.
I'm looking for the new girl.
New year, new me.
Dave's Corner Garage. Thanks, everybody. Drive safe, and we'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
This has been an exclusive podcast of Dave's Corner Garage. Heard every Saturday morning from 10 to 11 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740.